Good morning. Sorry for the late start. Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, September 20th, 2015 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And I want to mention before we begin that I noticed, according to a local weekly, that the weapons industry declined to present more EMF weaponry at this year's Urban Shield Police War Games Exposition. They must be feeling the pressure of our questions, so let's please keep it on them, brothers and sisters. And unless we display some solidarity on this question, it will be hard to move ahead with assurance, having forfeited the authentic turf even before getting underway, and forfeited other things. I mean, the effect of these things on my life has been debilitating. Even when they don't kill you, they make your life a hellish minefield to negotiate. The only time I find relief is during my walk at Lakeshore Park at Lake Merritt, because it's harder to target me there. But even there, I've had to get out there even earlier for that to be the case. This morning I got there at 4 a.m. It was still crawling with agents. And I use that term very, very loosely. It's just like Mark said, and maybe we're gonna get to this part today. It's just like Mark said, without the pejoratives about the Society of December 10. Anybody who can be bought is put into action. So the low income, students, out of work, anybody's. And no one wants to probe too deep, it seems, into who's paying or why. They just want food and a place to sleep. So what do we call this state of things when we must obey, do heinous things, or starve? Is it not fascism on the back of a buck? What else call it? When we don't have an authentic self, and we're reading Alice Miller in order to help us understand what that means, what do we have? Where does the authentic self go? If we've been subjected to utilitarian child-rearing methods as infants and youth, in which, per Plato, consciously or no, our parents, with us, were trying to design the perfect human. Early on, we would come to believe that our worth was not clearly seen, that our parents needed proof. If, as we pondered such questions, we were led to Hegel for answers to them, we might write something very like this, quote, "Man as an objective, sensuous being is therefore a suffering being, and because he feels that he suffers, a passionate being. Passion is the essential force of man, energetically bent on its object. But man is not merely a natural being, he is a human natural being. That is to say, he is a being for himself. Therefore, he is a species being and has to confirm and manifest himself as such, both in his being and in his knowing. Therefore, human objects are not natural objects as they immediately present themselves, and neither is human sense as it immediately is, as it is objectively human sensibility, human objectivity. Neither nature objectively nor nature subjectively is directly given in a form adequate to the human being. And as everything natural has to come into being, man too has his act of origin, history, which, however, is for him a known history, and hence, as an act of origin, it is a conscious, self-transcending act of origin. History is the true natural history of man, on which more later. The way in which consciousness is, and in which something is for it, is knowing. Knowing is its sole act. Something, therefore, comes to be for consciousness insofar as the latter knows this something. Knowing is its sole objective relation. It, consciousness, then, knows the nullity of the object, i.e. knows the non-existence of the distinction between the object and itself. I'm sorry, so trying to read this without smiling. I'm sorry. this paragraph in particular always makes me laugh when I read it. So I'm having a hard time being serious with this one. All right, start over. It, consciousness, then, knows the nullity of the object, i.e. knows the non-existence of the distinction between the subject and itself, the non-existence of the object for it, because it knows the object as its self-alienation. That is, it knows itself, knows knowing as object, because the object is only the semblance of an object, a piece of mystification, which in its essence, however, is nothing else but knowing itself, which has confronted itself with itself and hence has confronted itself with a nullity, a something which has no objectivity outside the knowing. Or knowing knows that in relating itself to an object, it is only outside itself. That it only externalizes itself, that it itself only appears to itself as an object, or that that which appears to it as an object is only itself. Could you tell this was a young man? I'm sorry, that's the young Karl Marx. When I read that, I cannot help but hear Virginia Woolf saying, quote, "There can be no doubt that to the segregation of the worlds and of the self, we owe all those meaningless but highly ingenious turnings and twistings into which the intellect ties itself when rid of the cares of the household and the family." Unquote. And that's from Three Guineas. And the longer I ponder her words, the deeper they become. I know we'll be returning to them. Because as with all other parts of that book, Three Guineas, they have a lot to say about our freedom.